the streets of Toronto to the backwoods of Bancroft. Here's your Moose Country Minute with Mark Bonikoski.
Well, the National Capital Commission, which rules over green space in Ottawa and Gatineau, as well as historic sites in the nation's capital, has thrown up its bureaucratic arms and walked away from the Rideau Canal as one of the world's longest skating rinks. They've had enough. They've thrown in the towel. Oh, they gave it a go a couple of weeks ago. They had crews out flooding the ice using the minus 21 Celsius temperature to form a base, and then along came warmer weather, and all was for naught. Apparently, 32 centimeters of ice is needed to declare the canal safe for skating, and the weight of all the tourists who come to knock one endeavor off their bucket list. Well, good luck with that. The NCC has given up. This would have been the Skateway's 50th season. Now, the NCC hasn't totally given up, mind you. They plan to give it another go from now, a week from now, but their faces are as long as Pete Bowman's when a trophy bass spits out its bait. Well, maybe no one could have a face that long. Last weekend's spate of ugly weather, which had forecasters in Canada and the United States locked to the weather modeling, didn't help matters one iota. There was lots of rain, at times lots of freezing rain, and attempts to turn the rain into snow. As I looked down at the Rideau Canal from my 10th floor balcony, there was not an NCC worker in sight. Blame climate change if you will, and you'll get no argument from me or anyone in Australia where the massive fires are killing off wildlife left, right, and center. When you see a koala bear seeking water from a bicycler's water bottle, you know it's having a rough and confused time. So, enjoy the miserable weather when you can, because who knows what's in store as the months move on. Whatever it is, it won't be pretty. For Outdoor Journal Radio, I'm Mark Bonikoski.
Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. That was Mark. I'm Angelo. We have Derek Brandeo, Justin Ryan Manitad on the board today. And, of course, Stephen Labadie, complete with a beautiful hand-sewn burgundy cap.
Hand-sewn. Made by hand.
Yes. on the line with us, hopefully, well, he was AWOL last week. Hopefully, we've caught up with him and found. I know he's busy.
Yeah.
He's vacationing, but time to play it safe. Our in-house safety expert, his name is Bradley Schlorf. He comes to us from somewhere in the state of Texas, vacationing on the Gulf. Good morning, Bradley.
Okay, I got so much stuff to go. I might just not stop all day. I'm going to wreck the show.
Oh, right.
How are you doing, brother? Welcome, Mark. You know, Mark, I thought... First thing I do before the show every week this time of year is I look at the OFSC trail map. One of the few places sort of in southern Ontario where the trail conditions are good right now is around Baptiste Lake. How come you haven't dragged Wally McCall out and hit the trails?
No kidding. We need to ask him. We need to ask him about
it. He lives in Ottawa now.
Yeah, so what? He can still go see Wally down in... Yeah.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you, Brad. Point one, well done.
Okay, and then point two... You know, Angela, I was a little disappointed when I listened online last week with you. You're supposed to be like the referee of this whole situation, and you got Whaley and Winters taking shots at each other back and forth, and you didn't even encourage them to keep going.
Believe me, behind the scenes, I was pumping, believe me.
That was beautiful.
Oh, good. What's happening down there, brother?
Well, so my bailout excuse is mostly poor time management by me last week. We keep a calendar, as we're busy down here, and I mean that. And
I didn't
look at it until the night before and realized we were going on this walk. So a little factoid of where we are, the Rio Grande Valley has five counties in it. They're among the five poorest counties in the United States. And so they have a charity event every year we've been down here. We participate in it, where they walk across the causeway to South Padre Island. It's 5 kilometers, and it raises funds for scholarships for high school kids in Port Isabel to go to university.
Okay.
So that's what I was doing rather than investing my time with you guys.
Oh, see, that's a valid excuse. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, I don't have many valid excuses. To me, the valid excuses are I'm going to go hunting, or I'm going to go fishing, or I'm going to play golf. So this is the one and only time that I really got one that was doing something good for somebody other than me.
Hey, listen, we were talking this morning about sometimes we take for granted that we are the ice fishing capital of the world and nobody else does it. And then the report comes out of Russia. 37 vehicles all were parked in one area and they all went through the ice. Have we ever had anything of that size that you can recall?
Well, I don't know about vehicles, but there was a huge big rescue, remember, on Lake Simcoe maybe 5 years ago. Where dozens of people were out on the ice and had to be rescued. And almost every year on Lake St. Clair, the U.S. Coast Guard has to come to the aid of a whole pile of Canadians that will wind up on a big ice floe that breaks away on Lake St. Clair. So I don't know about that many vehicles, though. That's a pile of cars at one time.
My God, 37. That's a parking lot full. I can't even envision that. Hey, I shouldn't laugh.
Did they look like a bunch of Ladas?
They did. They were all Ladas.
So the insurance claim wouldn't be quite the same as here in the United States of America or Canada when that happened, because they'd all be big, expensive 3/4-ton diesel pickup trucks.
Oh, for sure, for sure. How's the golf game coming?
The golf game's actually coming okay. I don't want to talk about it because the second that I say things are going good, they'll go south. So that's the end of that part. So they're doing okay. Now,
right,
I know what's going to happen Monday.
What? What's going to happen?
I'll be a mess.
Just think of us, buddy.
Okay.
We'll be peeking from the heavens, watching you.
Hey, you know, another thing I just thought about, Toronto International Boat Show's on right now.
It starts today. Good for you. So you remembered.
Well, it was kind of a big part of my life for an awful long time, standing on my feet for 12, 14 hours a day is something you don't forget quickly.
And it's the only show left in existence, certainly to my knowledge anyways. I could be wrong, but I think it's the only 10-day show left, or 9-day, whatever it is. It runs a full weekend to weekend.
I believe it's the biggest indoor boat show anywhere. And I know I'm almost positive it's in North America, maybe anywhere in the world.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I was there yesterday. They had a little media get together to sort of preview the show. It was pretty cool. Boy, there's some incredible looking machinery in this business, isn't there?
Oh, I bet.
Unbelievable stuff. The one, of course, I'm all about power, right? To me, if you don't have a lot of horsepower, you don't get my attention. Mercury is there with all of their racing motors that we're going to talk about when Adrian joins us here shortly. These racing Mercs. Now, they're called racing. They're not limited to racers. I mean, they're for sale to the general public. Maniacs like me, for example, would love to have a racing Merc on the back of a boat. But anyways,
they're a long ways from Mark's old 9.8 in the back of his 14-foot tinny that got broke every week.
No kidding. No, they've come a real long way. Super, super light. That's the biggest thing now. Everybody's going for light and more fuel efficient with, 87 octane fuel without going to super fuels, right? So these racing engines are all capable of running on the lowest octane fuel you can get at the pumps, which makes it remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. And in most cases, they're 20% lighter than a standard outboard.
Here we go off on a wobble. So are these a new four-stroke or a new two-stroke technology? Because the first of the four-strokes is they're so much heavier.
Right, but that's changed. Two-strokes are passe, to be honest with you. I would say that within 5 years, it'll be hard to find. You'd be hard-pressed to find a two-stroke, so... Four-stroke is definitely the new wave. But anyways, hey, enough about them. They're getting all this free advertising.
Yeah, they'll be on later.
Yeah, exactly. what's coming up this week for you, my friend?
Well, this week it's actually supposed to rain here today. It's not. I can see the sun, but really rain here today, and then maybe tomorrow. So that might put a dent on the activities that wind up like at a mall or something. So it might not be that fun of a weekend, but after that it'll be fish, golf, repeat as necessary.
All right, buddy. You have a good one. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
Take care.
Playing it safe, Bradley Schlorf, retired staff sergeant with the Ontario Provincial Police, now our wandering in-house safety expert, coming to us from Texas during the winter months.
Yes.
I never did ask him why Texas.
I don't know.
That's abnormal, isn't it?
Yeah, usually like Florida.
Yeah.